Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love this. I get to talk to Brett. I am really in the process of, I haven't even asked him this, but I am in the process of forming a panel. And he has been, here's what I want to tell you about Brett Bovell for a minute. You've heard him on the show. You've seen him. You've heard his personal story. But what you should know about is the depth and breadth by which he is passionate and committed to helping us change our minds and our hearts around racism. Those of us that understand this, how do we know it? Maybe we are not people of color, but maybe we're part of the LGBTQ community. Maybe we're in relationship or married to someone that has experienced this. Maybe because of that, you have experienced this. Maybe today's show is for you because here's what we're going to talk about. What can reason tell us about racism? Look, science has been in the forefront. Studies have been done, but neuroscience in particular will point to things, and he is going to take us on a ride today because he has written the most incredible book, Healing Racism Within. And more than that, he is teaching and he is getting the message out. But pay attention to this because science can pinpoint this thousands of years back. Brett, this is amazing topic because we don't put it together. We don't put science and racism together, do we?
Not usually. Not usually. I had an interesting conversation about 2 weeks ago with two neuroscientists who are going to be teaching at Omega Institute, Dr. Alex Korb and Dr. Lisa Miller. And it was a side conversation through email. And I brought up the topic of racism and talking about the brain. And they both then started sending me different articles and different studies that had been published in the world of neuroscience around this whole issue. And I found it really fascinating. I'm actually just going to read the title of one of the studies. It came out in 2012. It's called Their Pain Is Not Our Pain, Brain and Autonomic Correlates of Empathic Resonance with the Pain of the Same or Different Race of Individuals. So there's actually studies going on that show that that the way we think often is that, you know, if they show an image of somebody in pain in their mapping our brain at the same time, we'll resonate with somebody if they look the same as us, right? If they look like they're the same color as us. And yet if it's somebody who's experiencing pain who is a different color than us, different parts of the brain are not lining up. So it's just showing that we really internalize this unfortunate thing called racism at the cellular level in our brains. And I think there are ways that we can certainly change that through meditation, through gratitude practices, through energy work, and through really, you know, bringing attention, shining the light on the issue and doing the inner work to change how we think.
Yeah. And let's just get a recap on for a minute on some of the things we've previously talked about. I don't know of any incident that I've had in my life that I can put in the category of racism, misogyny, whatever you want to call it, any of those categories, gay bashing, hate crimes, right? Because I've gone through it. I don't know that there's any that I could pinpoint and say, oh, Brett, I was not traumatized by that. Because there is the science of trauma now. And let's talk about this. There are multiple kinds. There's the I just got beat within an inch of my life trauma. And then there's the other one. There's the more passive aggressive. I can't walk down the street. If I lift my head up, somebody may hit me. This is inside of me every day. There's a science that's working on me, my self-esteem, telling me I'm not good enough. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, even just the most recent horrific crime that happened in Buffalo.
Oh my gosh.
What if I'm an African-American person or a person of color of whatever race? You know, do I have to be afraid just to go to the grocery store now? You know what I mean? It's just, and to think from that perspective, what is it like for those people of color, whether they're living in Buffalo or in other communities around the country, to have to be thinking about that when you're just going to buy, you know, some vegetables for cooking at home? I mean, it's ridiculous that we live in a society where this is the reality. And I mean, it wants to get me started on the whole other topic of, you know, replacement theory and all the BS that some media outlets are putting out there. But anyway, I don't want to digress. But
but we're going to do another show, because one of the things I'm really acutely aware of for the moment is a question that somebody asked me the other day. It's the other day, but actually it was like 2 weeks ago. Sorry. But then they came back to me again with the latest initiative and information that's going on, right? Everything from Elon Musk's announcement this morning to the Supreme Court. And they say, Pat, what are you going to do? Like, what are you doing? Like, we're not seeing you do anything. And so I looked at that and I said, well, Brett writes a book. He's out here every day. He's teaching it. And I am doing something, but not enough. I have a network. I have Brett on the network. We're going to be expanding this. We're going to have an entire diversity channel. And yet she came back and said to me, Brett, what else are you going to do? I'm going to have to talk to you. But you see, it is a time of action, but it's also a time of understanding. Help us understand the neuroscience of this and how insidious this can be.
Yeah. So again, it's just, it's literally baked into the fabric of who we are. Whether you consider yourself to be somebody who's like openly progressive and very liberal minded about things, it's still baked into the fabric of our society. It's baked into our cellular consciousness. And that's where we need to start looking and start changing things if we really want to start to change society as a whole. Do we need to go out and vote? Yes. Do we need to make sure that the right people are running our programs and our government and all that? Yes. But we also, even in spite of that, we also still need to be doing the internal work, whether it's meditation or gratitude work or art therapy, whatever it takes for us to go inside and literally change that formula that exists inside of all of us. I would say it's just part of our society. It's part of the water that we drink. You know, that energy of racism is in every little interaction that we are part of. And so we have to, first of all, just acknowledge it and become aware of it. And then once we are aware of it, then start doing the inner work. But yes, we always have to be doing the outer work too, voting, protesting, bringing our voices out to the town square in whatever way we can.
We understand science when it's explained to us, Brett. We have a sense of it. But can we talk about some of the studies that you've discovered? This is so important. I've done these myself, right? When in my social science program, but there are studies of neuroscience and they say something about a couple of things, racial empathy and what my mentor called racial action in support based on empathy. But let's take the first. Let's just talk about racial empathy. Does it even exist? Help me here.
Yeah, so I think it can exist. It's just that we are often, you know, we're often taught to just really associate with our tribe. Who is our tribe, right? It's kind of deeply wired in that sort of primitive part of the brain that we want to survive, right? And so who looks like us, that's who we automatically think of as our tribe. And it's really about realizing we are no longer in that that place of survival. We're no longer cave people, you know, wondering if the tiger is going to attack us. We don't, that reality isn't true anymore for us. So we can let go of that reality and can now expand our circle of who do we consider to be part of our tribe, to now embrace the wider spectrum of humanity. And when we can do that, when we can really kind of open that up in our consciousness, not just in our consciousness, but literally in the cells of our body with how we think about other people, then that's when these changes will start to occur, both internally as well as externally. I have to mention that I recently met with a group of these 10 women in Louisville, Kentucky. It was a virtual meeting, and they're doing a constant study of my book, Healing Racism Within, and just hearing them talk about the way the book has impacted their lives and the things that they're seeing about patterns in their own lives, the way it's helping them be more vocal in speaking about issues of race in Louisville, which is, you know, a place where there has been definitely some racial issues in the past year or two. So I think there's just so much work that we can do here to really bring light onto this deeper issue that's part of all of us.
And I want to really talk about this because I think we have to take it 30 seconds. And Benny, we're going to skip the break because it's really a lot to talk about, Brett. I want to just take a moment because a lot of times when we talk about racism, we go to racism and when we talk about racism and dynamics between men and women or gender, let's just say gender. We often think about color and white. That is not the spectrum of this. You know, it's fascinating to me because I just recently shared that I found out that grandpa was born in Brazil, changed his name, changed the last letter on his name, made it a vowel, made himself Italian, right? Like his name was not that. And he made the S an A. I just found this out. Thank you, Ancestry, and right. And I was talking to some people, and one of them said to me, I don't think Brazilian is Latina. So there's another layer of this within the realms of race, isn't there?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, again, I think it goes back to that tribal sense of who we are, and there can be so many ways to identify who is our tribe or who is not part of our tribe. There can be so much of that us versus them mentality that can come out in all kinds of ways, whether it's around, you know, gender or race or variations of color, even people who are of the same race and experiencing discrimination because some are darker skinned than others within that same race. I mean, that's a very, very real issue as well. So it's all those variations. I think if we can just begin to expand that sense of who we are considering to be part of our tribe and to let the fear go. You know, there's so much fear mongering too these days, especially in the media. And I think it just only fuels the flames of these triggers that many people have. And it's like pouring gasoline on a fire.
Oh my God, it is. You know, look, studies, shootings, and I want to get back to science. I remember, it was really interesting, my first dynamic of understanding a little bit about the way I looked when I was younger. My sister was going to school for beauty school. She didn't know what she was doing. And she decided she was going to do my hair. So she does my hair. Long story short, it's orange. Every place I went, it was assumed that I was either Puerto Rican, right? Because people would start talking to me in Spanish. That's how I knew that. Just by that, right? And so when do we get to the neuroscience of different, but not less than?
You know, it's interesting because, like I said, I was having this conversation. It was a, you know, email conversation with Dr. Lisa Miller and Dr. Alex Korb. And I was bringing that very issue up. Like, you know, yes, we've got certain scientific studies that can show us that racism is real and how it exists in the brain. And, you know, my question is like, what's that next step? How do we start to then, you know, use neuroscience to change the brain to really, you know, rewire that racist mindset so that it is no longer in a place of hatred and us versus them, but it's more in a place of holism and compassion. Mm-hmm. And one thing that Dr. Lisa Miller was talking about was how, you know, it's kind of that spectrum of between oneness and wholeness, yeah, and difference. And often we go to one or the other. Often we're either like, oh, it's all one, or we're totally focused on the difference. And she's like, no, it's really both. Mm-hmm. We have to be in that place where we can see both, that everything is one and we are all interconnected and all connected to the divine. And mm-hmm. at the same time, there are differences. And how can we live in that place of both acknowledging those differences and appreciating those differences, and at the same time realizing we are also mm-hmm. still one? We are also still interconnected.
I love that we're talking about this because, first of all, the title of your book is Healing Racism Within. Can we just take a moment and update people on, one, how they can get a copy of the book in case they want to start a book club themselves to study the book? And then also, give us an update on some of the events you're doing and to get the word out here.
Sure. So the book, you can get it on, you know, any bookseller, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Also, I always a big fan of supporting your local bookstore. If they don't have it right now, you could go in and just ask them to order it for you. It's readily available wherever books are sold, really. So again, the title is Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide. And for my events, the next public event that I'm doing is at Omega Institute the weekend of July 1st through 3rd, a first and second degree Reiki training, which includes not only traditional Reiki training, but I also weave in what I call psychic Reiki, which I see as being kind of the next step in the evolution of Reiki. It's a very wonderful place to learn if you've never been to Omega. So I hope some people will come check it out there. You can also find out about just me and my events at brettbevell.com. That's brettbevell.com.
Let's talk about what would change, Brett, from where you sit? Because you are the person that teaches this, that you work one-on-one, you help people. But I would like to know, when we take a look at the science of this and we take a look at racial empathy of this, I was recently looking at a study that looked at racial in-group bias, empathy for people that are in pain. And the fact that when you look at racial in-group bias and people, individuals in pain, it's also characterized by neural responses, right? And those responses are perceived pain for the same relative to other race individuals. So what happens is we share in the pain, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. What can we do to educate people? But we're beyond education, I think, Brett, and your book says it. We now have to learn how to heal it. I mean, what if schools had your book? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's, I wish more schools had my books. I hope some do. I know. I almost feel that group of women in Louisville, that's like a school of its own. I mean, they're not officially a school, but the work that they're doing is, I was very touched by it and talking to them. And I really think that it's about developing these practices. And again, I've often said it, I've said it on your show a number of times, if there's nothing else people can do to make a daily practice of what I call multicultural gratitude, where you're making a list of, you know, 15 to 20 things every day that you appreciate that are about people who are of a different color or who speak a different language than you. And you're really just, again, that what that does, it may sound very simple or even not that important, but what that does, if you start to do that on a regular basis, it starts to rewire your brain, because as you're expressing gratitude for that person who might seem like the other, or that culture that might seem different than yours, you're actually creating a kind of a neural pathway between you and appreciating people who are different than you. And as you start to do that, then that opens up that realm to be more empathic, mm-hmm. more empathizing when somebody who looks different than you is having to be in a place of fear because other people that look like them are getting shot when they go to the grocery store. or when they're being pulled over at a traffic light stop. So when you're doing those simple practices, it literally starts to rewire your brain. There's other things that people can do too, whether it's, you know, Tonglen meditation or energy healing. Right. But I always come back to the one practice that everybody can do is multiracial gratitude.
The gap that I see, I'd like you to jump in. The gap that I see, I'm starting to see more voices. And what do I mean by more voices? I was talking to somebody the other day, Brett, and I said, you know, the silence is deafening. And they say, what are you talking about? There's stuff all over social media. I said, yeah, that's the silence. Because when you look at social media, having somebody tweet something is a dilution. And I said, what I think we just saw last weekend, and we're going to see more of, is what happens when people show up in a place and express how they feel about something. When you're looking in somebody's eye, not some little Twitter or Facebook feed, and you're looking at them and you're seeing the passion and the purpose. Doesn't that also help do rewiring for those people that think they're alone?
Yeah. I mean, I going back to, you know, this group of women in Louisville, when I heard them share their stories and how they were connecting, not to just the things that I mentioned in my book, but connecting to each other around those various topics. And, you know, even talking about their own stories, often related to abuse and relating the patterns of that abuse to the larger patterns of racism that exist in society, which I also talk about in my book. And there's so much healing that can happen when we do that, when we come together as a group, when we come together in community, face to face, not just on social media or through places like Twitter and Facebook. But when we have groups of people that meet together, you know, that's where their deepest healing, mm-hmm. I think, can happen.
You know, Brett, I know we've talked about quite a bit, but there are a few things that perhaps I wanted to get your opinion that, you know, in the couple of minutes we have left, I want to know what's at the top of your radar. You know, when you wake up, you you start to enter the world and you say, wow, this is on my mind and I wish I could do blank with it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, in my own personal work, I think it's going to be more focusing. I think I haven't started to do it, but I think I need to write a book about my story. Because when, yes, I was talking to these women in Louisville, I said, what are the two most things that you found to be most important for the book? And the first thing they mentioned was your story. And so I think I need to do a book that's just about my story, whether it'll be a fictionalized version or autobiography, I don't know. But I think I need to do that. And the other thing they mentioned was referring to white privilege as white cowardice, because they felt that was very liberating, that it really named it for what it was. And so when I wake up each day, I really think that's the area, that's where my contribution can be to the greater good, is to push those things a little bit more out into the consciousness of our society. And hopefully, you know, other people will start to gather with their stories and their wisdom, and we can change this. I do believe that racism is not something that has to be part of our human experience. I think we can evolve beyond it, but it takes work and it takes effort.
It does take effort. It does take work. And at the flip side of that, there's also this level of fulfillment to know that you are in a position to do that. And I'm so thrilled that you are thinking about writing a book to share your story, because we are now connecting more than ever with stories, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, I think stories are often the true healers. I mean, you know, you can read a book about somebody who what they went through and get that empathetic wisdom from the book. You know, healing doesn't have to always come by going to a therapist or a Reiki healer or a doctor. There's other ways to find healing. And I think stories is one of our original ways to find healing. So, you know, stories are very powerful. And I'm really thinking deeper about telling mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you, you are telling your story. You're showing up and you're showing out and you're enabling us to really fully understand that we can do it too. Brett, how do we get a copy of your book? How do we find out about you? And what's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Yeah. So I'll start with, again, you can get my book on Amazon.com or Barnes and Noble or any place where books are available, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide. You can find out more about me at brettbevel.com. I would love, if anybody wants to learn Reiki, come learn it with me at Omega Institute the weekend of July 1st through 3rd. It's a beautiful place to learn energy healing, a beautiful campus there. And my last message, I guess, would be just, if there's nothing else you can do, express gratitude, not just for yourself, not just for people who look like you, but widen that circle.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.